vulnerability in music. I think it's the only way to create good art is through being vulnerable. You have to really go there. Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess songs like Crazy Frog are fun, and I don't think that's vulnerable. But like, do you know what I mean? Like the songs that like really like stand the test of time, which again is Crazy Frog. So I don't know. You know what? Who the fuck knows what makes a good song?
Hello. You have both of us this week.
Welcome back to Under Our Roof. We are getting back in gear to be fully loaded. What's that? Fast and Furious?
Too fast, too furious.
Too under, too roof.
I'm Lizzie.
And I'm Grace, or Semler, depending on how you know me.
And we've had a weird few weeks for the podcast. We've had a great few weeks for us, but Grace was recording in the studio. Mm-hmm. I was on my own all day, most days, and I found that I did not have the capacity to record a podcast for a couple of weeks. And then last week, I did a solo one about my law school and legal career journey, which I hope was maybe useful for someone.
As it turns out, taking care of a newborn without a lot of help was hard.
Yeah, it is.
No one talks about this.
You're hearing
for the first time. People do not talk about this.
She is technically like not really a newborn anymore.
What? She's 3 months.
Yeah, that's when it cuts off.
Oh my gosh. That seems kind of... She's definitely newborn-ish.
Yeah.
Like she feels like very much is baby.
She's baby.
Like, you know how there's that expression like, I'm baby. I'm like, she is literally baby. She is baby. Like she's not able to crawl or anything.
No, she can't do anything by herself.
Yeah. She really just can like let us know through chirps and yells and occasional cries how she feels about her current circumstance. So we just have to try and read them and interpret it correctly.
She also every week or sometimes every day is just changing it all up so fast. So we'll be like, all right, we got our schedule, we got our bedtime. And then she's like, yeah, you are hilarious if you think that that's going to work this time.
Okay. I feel like since having a baby, I kind of always sound high because I have like revelations or epiphanies that people are like, yeah, Grace, like that's just how the world works. But you know, when you think about like cells dividing and like how they divide really fast and that's how like a little embryo like gets bigger and bigger, like in a person's belly is like dividing, right?
Yeah.
So that like, she's a baby. We all agree. She's like very small. She's like under 20 pounds. So like very small. That's still, all that division is still happening in her. Like we reach a certain point, you're 25 years old, your frontal lobe is fully developed. Like you're not growing any more inches. Like you've grown, like you're a grown person.
You still change, but.
You change, like certain circumstances may like evolve you as a person, but like your physical growth and like the neuro pathways, it's like you're pretty much done, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not a scientist, so I don't know. Maybe that's wrong, but it feels like it. But for her as a baby, the division, it's like rapid division, which is why every day is so different because like every cell in her body is like expanding at like this incredibly rapid rate. It's why baby skin, and again, I'm not a scientist or a dermatologist, but isn't why baby skin is like so soft? Because it's like just producing collagen, producing like all this stuff, all the like stuff that makes your skin really soft.
Yeah.
And then when you get older, you don't do that. And so that's why people like inject stuff into their face, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the other day I kissed Francis on her cheeks constantly. I mean, just constantly.
You really can't help yourself. Yeah. The cheeks go crazy.
And I'm so used to kissing her on the cheeks. And then I realized I hadn't kissed you on the cheek in like, I don't know,
it's going to be a dig, isn't it?
Some time. And I kissed you on the cheek. And just because I'm so used to kissing her, I was like, feels like gaunt compared to
my face feels gaunt.
It just, you know, you don't have like those baby cheeks and the squishiness. Like hers are just so squishy.
I don't want to freak her out, but I do feel like I want to impress upon her how wonderful having those cheeks are. Because I had cheeks like that too when I was a baby and a kid. I didn't appreciate them. I remember feeling like, I can't wait to not have these like soft pillow cheeks. But how fun to get to have them.
Like your skin is still soft. It's not like you feel like rough or something, but
there's like a bounciness.
Yes,
it's like a marshmallow in her face.
It like springs back in this way.
It's really quite unique and special. And again, I don't want to seem crazy or high, although all those things have already sort of come into fruition, but I want to be like, Francis, this is an amazing time in your life. You just try and remember, touch your little fingers to your cheek, because this is really incredible what your body's is creating right now. This like texture of your skin. This is not what this episode's about, by the way.
No, we're just doing a little catch up. Today's Easter as we're recording this. So when you're if you're listening to this close to when it comes out, then
just know that he is risen.
Yeah. Happy Easter to those who celebrate. Mm-hmm. We made Frances her first Easter basket. We also got our own Easter baskets. Shockingly, I only say shocking because I truly did not plan for that, but a very dear friend dropped off Easter baskets for me and Grace on our doorstep.
With Easter bunny ears and everything.
And it's candy. Very thoughtful. I know. I was not expecting to get an Easter basket today, but Easter is full of surprises.
A lot of things have been happening. Like, I feel like this spring is going to be sprung. I think a lot is developing and percolating, and we are just trying to like ride the waves, but we feel like very supported and cared for. And I don't know, that just feels very cool. Like sometimes people ask me, okay, like how really is it having a baby? And I think of it more as just like having, it's just we're a new type of family unit. And it's just been a really sweet season. It's been so busy, but really fun. Like it's really quite a delight.
Yeah, it's interesting because on the one hand, I day to day feel so happy and am having the best time with Frances. But on the other hand, I feel like almost this defensive need to be like, no, but it's actually really hard. Not because it's bad at all, but because I am not able to do a lot of the things that I could do before having her. And so sometimes I feel like really behind on stuff. It's really hard for me to like keep up with things. Mm-hmm. And we're still figuring out exactly what our childcare situation is when I go back to work, which hopefully we'll be able to share an update on that soon because it might be sort of interesting. But aside from that, I think like once we have some more help with her, I will be able to get back to certain things. But right now, entire days go by where I literally just feed myself, feed her, play with her, take care of her, support her in her naps and sleep. And that is it. And the idea of doing much else is like pretty overwhelming. Mm-hmm. Even though I don't feel overwhelmed and like stressed out on a day-to-day basis, if somebody came to me and they're like, well, why haven't you done this? Why haven't you done that? Why haven't you gotten back to this person? Why? It's like, because I'm good, but I can't handle much else.
Mm-hmm. I definitely feel like the built-in excuse, but that's not even really the right word that I want to use here, but just having that explanation for really like protecting the peace of our family, because you have all these words are not precisely what I mean, but you have like the threat of like, we can't stay too late because Frances is going to truly have a meltdown.
Because she is baby. Yeah, she needs
But I don't know. There's just been a lot of clarity on like what we are able to do and what we're not able to do. But I just feel very supported by the people in our life as far as them meeting us there. You know, I haven't felt any sort of resentment, or there's just been a lot of understanding and a lot of like coming together.
I agree. It's been a very sweet time. And it's so nice that it's spring now and like the days are longer. Mm-hmm. Just every day is feeling beautiful.
We're getting more and more into our groove, and we appreciate your patience as we have tried to find the groove with the podcast. I'm the problem. I was in the studio recording new music, and because you're listening to this, you're going to be hearing some snippets throughout this episode. Just to thank you for your patience, I want to edit some footage. I've been kind of vlogging. I don't know. It's not really vlogging, but I filmed a lot of stuff in the studio, and I'm excited to share the process with you all. I think that the only way this album's going to work is as kind of a collective, in the sense of just like bringing people who've been supporting my music for so long. I feel like I've been putting off doing a full-length album. Now I feel ready and supported and so excited about this music to do a full-length, and I just appreciate everyone's patience letting me get to this point. So I want you to feel as involved in the process in the like lead up and the behind the scenes and the meetings, like I want to be as transparent as I possibly can be prior to this record coming out. And I hope that that gives you a sense of ownership, because truly, like, my story as an artist doesn't exist without your support and listening and spreading word of mouth. Like, it's just as independent of an operation as it gets. And so I am thankful for y'all for making this possible. And I want to show you that through how we do this rollout. Hopefully I'm able to do that well. And that's also not what this episode is about, but just to give you a heads up about the clips that you're going to be hearing. It's all unmixed, unmastered. A lot of stuff will be changing, but just to give you an idea of the direction that we're going in.
Well, I've been changing my life, doing it fast. Apologies to friends that I don't text back. I got a baby to raise, I'm raising myself. Gotta pay some dues and mind my health. I'm on the other side of Gethsemane, and I'm still not sure what that means to me. Better mind to just let it be, but I can't shake my...
What we did want to talk about is something way messier. We wanted to be some messy bitches.
A little bit. So we've had this idea for an episode for weeks or even months, and Grace thought of it. And it, okay, tell me if this is not what you exactly had in mind, but my understanding is the discussion point is, do you agree with the concept that, like, if a couple makes paragraphs long caption about their love, then that means there's trouble in paradise. And it's the people that, like, never do that who are probably the happiest. And I have a lot of thoughts on that.
Yeah, there were a few celebrity couples or breakups that I think sort of happened that were percolating on social media that Lizzie and I were talking about. And I said, this could be an interesting subject for the podcast because I have my own views about how I like to share my relationship on social media. And I know that, and I'm also not in the public eye to the extent of some of these people, but I think it was, I actually don't know if I want to say any names because some of these people I think of as peers.
Oh.
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Oh, I know.
You know, and I just don't want to...
Yeah.
I don't want to go there, but I think that, like, if you're a public person, I sometimes think it's odd when you would write letters effectively to a person that you could give that letter to rather than tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions of people and brands on the internet. Why do they also need to hear the letter?
Yeah, this is a really interesting topic for me.
And they might need to. That's why we got to unpack it.
I feel like for people that might not be on social media or might not be as familiar with this phenomenon, we need to explain it a little bit more. And then I want to share two competing schools of thought that I have.
Okay.
So the phenomenon is, like, it's not just couples, but that's kind of the easiest target, I guess. But people that will be like, Brandon, you... have made me laugh from the moment we laid eyes on each other. And, you know, through our ups and downs, it's not always easy. But at the end of the day, I always choose you. And this is like a big...
When I walked into that Texas Roadhouse Grill and Associated Bar, I did not expect that you would be 20 minutes late. But that is how our relationship has gone.
Yeah. And basically, like,
we'll
people
always
kind of
be on time together.
Give away...
the what? Highs and the lows, and Lord knows there have been lows.
Like, yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. And people kind of give away, like, okay, you think this sounds really romantic, but it actually is kind of a red flag. So I have one school of thought, which is I do find it, even though I'm sure I've done it, and that's something about me. Sometimes I'll be like, I think this thing is weird. And then you'll be like, didn't you do that 1 year ago? I'm like, yeah. And I think now I think it's weird.
Having a weekly podcast opens us up to... being
hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy and, like, being a person is a contradictory experience. We're going to have opinions on one thing and then forget that we've had totally opposite views or acted in different ways. And that's just being a fully transparent person, as much as we want to share through having some sort of a platform and sharing our perspectives in a podcast or wherever. We're going to be inconsistent. People are, you can try your best to be consistent, but many of us have sort of, like you said, competing schools of thought, especially when it comes to us versus other people. And we are absolutely throwing stones at glass houses right now. But let us throw stones. We watched the Jennifer Lopez documentary and she did it.
Well, yeah, we wanted to talk about
that. She literally did have a glass house thing where there were stones being thrown.
Here's my two schools of thought. It was a whole
set piece.
On the one hand, I feel like it is weird, for lack of a better term. If you have done this, I'm not calling you weird. Mm-hmm. But in my current opinion, there is like a tinge of weirdness when you write something to someone, addressed to someone, and that could be your pet, your baby, your significant other, whatever. And it's like, dear this person, here's how I feel about you. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of strange because I'm like, why don't you write that to them? Like, there's so many other mediums that you could do that if you're addressing it to them. Sort of different if you want to say like, hey world, I just want to like give a shout out. Not that I would phrase it this way, but like, hey world, I want to give a shout out
cool
to
cats and kittens.
This person that I care about on their birthday or something like that. So that's my one school of thought. But then the other school of thought is that like, sometimes you do want to showcase something that's important to you on these platforms. And I remember especially when I mean, this was back in the Facebook days when Facebook was like one of the bigger social media platforms. I mean, it still is actually, like, in terms of monthly users, I think Facebook is still like the biggest.
That's terrifying.
Because so many older people are on it.
Oh, God.
But most people I would say I know who are around my age or certainly younger aren't as active on Facebook. But back like 10 plus years ago, it was a different story and Facebook was like way, way more popular. And of course, TikTok didn't really exist and Instagram didn't exist if you go back 15 years ago, but Facebook did and it was very popular. Anyway, on Facebook, I remember being when I was finally like out of my little bubble from growing up and I felt like I could be out and be myself. And I had like some of my first relationships that weren't closeted relationships. I was so excited to like post a picture of us and like be more gushy because I had never been able to do that. And I had seen people do that with their boyfriends in high school and I had never gotten to, and I had like, you know, a hidden relationship that was very fraught, and I never posted a picture. I don't know if we might have had like one photo together ever. And that's so sad looking back, but that's just like how it was. And so I never want to be like, oh, it's so embarrassing if you gush over somebody on social media, because I feel like sometimes if you haven't ever gotten to do that, maybe somebody has like wanted to be in a relationship and they never have. And they're like, cool, now it's like cringe to post about them. It's like, no, you should. So I have two competing schools of thought, but sometimes I feel like certain captions are, it's like, who are you talking to? Yeah. And I don't mean that rhetorically. I mean, literally, I can tell this is pointed at someone and I don't know who. Mm-hmm. So who is this for?
I think a lot of times when someone's posting, in fact, maybe most of the time, you're looking for some form of validation or connection. So in the example that you gave, I totally think that like if someone has never had a relationship or felt like they could be open about themselves or whatever it may be, then you want that external validation. Like that external validation, though it shouldn't be the most important factor in your life, can be a very important factor in your life of having people say, I see you, I recognize you, your love is valuable, your love is adorable. Like, and so I understand that, especially in that context. I actually disagree with you on one point though.
Yeah.
You said writing posts to pets. I think that is carte blanche, because how else are you going to, that you could read that post to Bean. He doesn't speak English.
Yeah.
Like, he barely knows basic commands. Sort of like grief is love with nowhere, mm-hmm. with nowhere to go. It's a pretty similar feeling with your dog of like, this dog is truly, I think, an icon. Like, I think he has star power and I think there's something really special about him. He has a certain je ne sais quoi. And I can't say that to him. He just doesn't get it, right? He's sleeping right behind me. He won't get it. So I want to put that love somewhere. So if I put it on the internet, there are other people who have pets who will understand. I'm not saying that some people might not find it embarrassing, but especially when referencing Bean, those people are wrong, and that's okay. And you just want to put it somewhere. You have love and you want to put it somewhere. And sometimes the internet is that place and it's the correct lane or the appropriate lane. But I think a lot of times the internet is not that place. And if you're looking for, my relationship is not going well, or I'm not sure if this is the right relationship. So I'm going to put this post to see if people will validate it, mm-hmm. because maybe that will reinforce, maybe that will help these red flags look a little greener. And that is when I'm like, who are you talking to? Like, this, take this offline. You know, it's like the highs and the lows, like, and certainly we've had our rough patches, but like we always get through it. I'm like, is this something you need to talk about with a friend? Or also there's sometimes it's like someone else is posting you a lot or posting about you a lot and you feel pressured to equally post them so that it's like a balance in that relationship. And just for posting for posting's sake, or just for the optics of what a relationship looks like on the internet in 2024, that's when I'm like, what are you doing? You don't go to sleep at night with you and your followers and your person. I know maybe some people do. I have no idea. Probably not. I guess people maybe vlog, like, are there like streamers that like Twitch stream while they're sleeping?
Probably.
Then I guess they would go to sleep with their followers. But that seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. I think this topic also brings up like another sort of concept mm-hmm. that I have been thinking about, which is like, should and does social media showcase what's actually important to us? Mm. And I have recently been leaning less so. And I am in like an interesting phase of life where the most important thing and the thing that's taking up like 90%, probably more than 90% of my time is my daughter. Mm-hmm. But I'm not showing a ton about her. Like I do post, I mean, if you follow me, you've seen like snippets, but
Speaking of,
she's waking
she's like,
up.
I'd like to be on the pod.
What do you think? Should I grab her and just hold her while we record more?
Yeah, maybe. We can pause.
All right.
When I dream, there's a slip reality, and we never fell in love and out of touch. So I call you whenever.
Okay, we're back after a pause. I'm nursing Francis, so if you hear any little noises.
We did realize that you can hear her little tiny breaths.
Yeah, in another episode, I was nursing her, and I was like, oh, she's silent. And then in the episode, it's like, so sorry about that. So as I was saying, right now, I feel like I'm really in a mode of actually not showing what is like most important to me and what is most on my mind and things that I care about, causes, whatever it may be. Because I'm just using social media in a different way right now. And a lot of that is, it's all sort of winds back down to the fact that like I'm with an infant all day, every day. And I take videos of her and pictures of her that like I'll never put on my public Instagram because they're just like, I have the cutest video of her from last night where she's just in a diaper. So that alone, like I'm not going to put her unclothed on the internet. And she's laughing and it's so cute. It's like the first time I really got a laugh on video and it's so special. And of course I've sent it to my mom and friends and, you know, I'm sharing it with people that I want to see it, but that's like the best thing that I've had on my camera roll and the most important thing to me right now, but I'm not going to put that online. And so because of that, like cognitive shift of, you know, just because it's the most exciting thing and just because it's like the most important thing, I'd rather put on my Instagram story like a snippet of the dinner party I went to, which mm-hmm. Francis was on my lap the whole time for, but I didn't show that on my public Instagram story at all. Or, you know, what I'm cooking that week. I've been really into sharing meals on Instagram more than I have been in the past because that's something that's just for me. And I guess I'm just using social media in a more lighthearted way right now. Mm-hmm. And that may continue. I don't know. But I get very upset, I guess, when people would assume that like what I'm sharing on my Instagram story is like all I care about or something. Like mm-hmm. there's so much more, but it doesn't all have to be on social media.
Some of this episode was inspired by me watching the Jennifer Lopez documentary, which, if you don't know, documents her making a movie that was going to be funded by Amazon Prime.
Somebody yeah, was going to buy it. Somebody eventually did buy it, which was Amazon
but
Prime.
But initially, it was going to be made for $20 million. Then
I
the funding,
it was 30.
Maybe a lot of millions of dollars. And then the funding pulled out and she went gung-ho, I'm still going to make this music movie. Jennifer Lopez kind of wanted to do like Lemonade, but didn't, by Beyonce, but didn't do that. And the songs are not
The songs are fine. I think it's extremely unlikely that I will ever run in the same circle as Jennifer Lopez, so I don't want to like trash her too much. It's not trash. It's just like it was. It's a fine. The music is fine. The music is fine. But what's really interesting is that she funded this like big music video. I mean, they say don't call it a music video, but it's a music movie project that is kind of like Lemonade, but isn't. And there's a documentary of her doing the process. And in the documentary, it's a lot about her love with Ben Affleck, who is also in the documentary. It's called The Greatest Love Story Never Told. And he does point out the irony in calling it that and then telling their love story.
Yeah. I did really find the beauty and the poetry and the irony in the fact that it's the greatest love story never told. And if you're making a record about it, that seems kind of like telling it.
On that first day, I showed everybody this book. This book is a book that Ben gave me on our first Christmas back together. It is every letter and every email that we wrote to each other from 20 years ago and today. It became like our Bible, and we just left it there in the studio. And people would thumb through it. They're like, can we look at it? I was like, look at it.
And they were like, yeah, we call you Ben Affleck. And I was like, oh, my God.
There's a moment with Jane Fonda on the phone with Jennifer Lopez, and they are friends from when they did the movie Monster in Law together. And Jane Fonda just being like, listen, like, I'm happy to participate in this movie because I guess Jennifer wanted her to do a cameo. But she was saying, I don't understand why you need to have such a show of your relationship with Ben. Like, I'm just kind of wondering
like
about...
everyone knows you guys are together.
Yeah, you're back together. It's all right. And like, what are you kind of proving? And I think Jennifer was like, oh, that's just how we are. Like, it's just what it is. But a lot of people pointed out how it just felt so showy. Like, she had to show all these, like, letters, these handwritten private letters, emails from years and years ago that they'd sent in exchange with each other and turn them into songs and, like, use them directly as inspiration and not just, like, you know, have it in as like a little something tucked in into the music or something that she inspired, but like have it in the documentary. Like it was like pretty aired out. And I think that is confusing for me because I really love vulnerability in music. I think it's the only way to create good art is through being vulnerable. You have to really go there. Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess songs like Crazy Frog are fun and I don't think that's vulnerable, but like, do you know what I mean? Like for the songs that like really like stand the test of time, which again is Crazy Frog. So I don't know. You know what? Who the fuck knows what makes a good song? But a lot of songs, it is in vulnerability, you know, peeling back a layer of yourself or talking about the fact that you're a crazy frog. I think you can be vulnerable in your lyrics without compromising relationships that you currently have that you want to preserve. I don't know. I also have complicated feelings about this too, because I've written things in songs that I knew were going to be bad for certain relationships, but I never have put anything in a song about you or about people that are like really in my life that I haven't checked with ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
But like, are you comfortable with me putting this out there?
Yeah.
I think it's different when someone is no longer in your story.
I also, I mean, now we're getting swinging to a totally different topic, but I also feel like people have to just be aware of artistic license.
Right.
Like, just because you say something in a song doesn't mean that it was exactly like that. Like, sometimes songs are, if you're hearing some background noise from Frances, she is an infant.
She is going through it right now. She is digesting her food.
Yeah. Sometimes you hear things in songs, and I feel like people, sometimes it's really like a composite of several different people,
yes.
But you're singing it as if it's one person.
Yeah.
And anyway, I feel like if someone were to ever be like mad about the way that they think they're being portrayed, I don't know if you can hear that, dear listener. People maybe, if people are mad about the way they're portrayed in a song, maybe it's legitimate, but I also kind of feel like you have to consider artistic license and that somebody might, you know, add something to a song because it rhymes, but it doesn't mean it's about you. And I have rarely heard a song that actually names the person it's about. Jolene is one of them, but that probably isn't even her name.
No, well, the whole song is just a story.
Mm-hmm.
She just met someone named Jolene and she was like, now that's a spicy pizza pasta. She was like, that is something. That's a name right there. So what do you think about people hard launching on social media?
Love.
I love it too.
I love a hard launch. My sister did that recently.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess Is your definition of a hard launch just like showing a picture where it's clear that you're a couple?
I guess so.
Yeah.
It's really the words that's the words part of it.
Oh, okay. So it's, you would put a caption being like, this is my boyfriend or something?
No. I mean, like the thing that I sometimes raise an eyebrow at, which is what we're unpacking in this episode, is the words part.
Oh, I
see. So you hard launch your person and you can be like, out to dinner. I think Bean needs to go out. I'll let him out in a little bit.
Okay.
I think that's fine and totally normal. But if it's like, out to dinner, the way that you look at me from across the table lets me know that I'm the only girl in this room that you have eyes for. I've never wondered ever if you were texting other people. I'm like, you're manifesting. Like, you're putting that out there.
Yeah. I agree with that.
I've never felt more secure in my entire life with you, Dennis.
I love a hard launch. I think it shows a lot of security, but I don't think you need the flowery language necessarily. I think you can kind of just, you know, say, like, show my sister recently, I think, did like a, her caption was just like February roundup or something. And it was a bunch of photos from the month of February. And one of them was her boyfriend, who she'd never posted on social media, with his arms around her. And it was very clear that there were a couple.
I wonder how much of this is also just sort of personal preference, because what if it's two people's love language? I'm also getting nervous about the dogs.
Okay, let's pause. It always will. Okay, we had to take a break. Because our dogs needed things and our baby needed things.
I will say Francis is wide awake now and very excited to be on the podcast. I wouldn't be surprised if she tries to chime in.
Yeah. But we don't remember where we were.
Yeah. We left off somewhere about me thinking that maybe I'm just projecting. Yeah.
Take that. Hey, love. There we go.
And maybe this is really the resolution for all podcasts. Maybe I should mind my own business.
Mm.
And what works for other people, if it makes them happy, is okay. And I shouldn't give advice about how you should have a relationship online, because literally, what the hell do I know? I'm married and I don't really do that anyway. And it's okay. And I'm wrong. And actually, this was a bad idea.
Wait, really?
No.
Oh.
Well, just that I don't want to be too judgmental.
I know,
like, what,
I don't
like, what's
either.
The point?
Because I always end up coming back to what you just said. Like,
what do I know?
What do I know? Everyone should do what works for them. But then it'll be kind of fun to like give your little spicy take. But then you're like, wait, I can literally think of five examples of exceptions to
exactly.
that spicy take. So who cares?
Yeah.
But it is fun to just gab.
Well,
and
I think what it comes about is like, in like kind of a snarky, but I hope harmless way, is that when Lizzie and I will come across like a celebrity that posts like a really long gushy caption about a significant other, and then months, maybe years down the line, turns out, oh, their relationship is over, they're parting ways. What happened is like turning to Lizzie and being like, I mean, I kind of thought the captions were a little, I feel like they were kind of outlining the demise without even realizing it by announcing so much about the inner workings and turmoil and things that they've surmounted in their posts about each other that was really yeah. none of our business.
That's
and I would
the thing.
Not have had an opinion on this if you hadn't brought us into it.
I kind of want to say who we're talking about.
I don't think we should.
Okay. Well,
because I really would love to work with them.
Okay. There's an artist. Here's a little blind item for you.
Sure.
An artist who recently released an awesome album that we both like, mm-hmm. we both love.
Yeah.
This person was very gushy on social media like a year or two ago and very flowery and very like, why aren't you just saying this to the person?
Mm-hmm.
And now.
Very personal.
They are broken up.
Yeah.
Which kind of precipitated this whole concept because we were both like, I could have seen that coming because they were too over
yeah,
the top.
It was too much.
Yeah.
It was just like, what is this for? But then also they're both artists. And so maybe that's like part of the love language. And then also I will say these people's names because I would truly never want to work with them. Actually, maybe full offense because they did kind of have that whole homophobic scandal on Vanderpump Rules. Jax and Brittany from Vanderpump Rules are separated, and I felt like, it's one of those things where, like, who, it sucks to say, but, like, was anyone, like, massively surprised by that with all the red flags that they'd kind of ignored before they got married? But in all their captions about each other, it was just, like, the best husband in the entire world. I'm like, is that... I don't know. No, just like the way saying, that they would write about each other was just so sort of gushy, and I don't know. And not to, and you know, nobody knows what happens behind closed doors, but it just felt a little weird to me.
Yeah. So that's really who we're snarking on, is Jax and Brittany. If you feel like we are calling out a caption you've made, I promise
it's
you we're not.
It's Jax and Brittany.
It's Jax and Brittany.
Yeah. But anyway, he referred to their relationship. Now that they're separated, he did an interview and he was like, oh, we're going to stay together for the kid. And also we are a brand. And I was like, whoop, whoop. That's scary. That's yikes.
Yeah.
It absolutely happens. But I don't think it should.
For you to be a brand with,
your partner. Like that, to think of it just like sort of so nonchalantly of like, you know, we're still going to be working together. We are a brand and we are like, we do care for each other. I'm like, oh man, I feel like that's the yikes that we should have been more cautious about when you start thinking about your loved one as part of your brand.
I know. That is yikes. And that is maybe coming back around to where we're really landing is like, keep things sacred.
Consider, oh my gosh. I'm about to say, consider the source. Remember that? Does anyone remember that from the Alec Baldwin, Hilaria Baldwin thing where she full? I don't know if we talked about this either, but you know, Hilaria Baldwin is as Spanish as I am Belgian.
Yeah. Well, everyone.
Pretty
knows.
Much. I think everyone knows that now. And I think I've shared that before as like, I think she spent a lot of time in Spain.
But she's not Spanish.
But she's not. Well, she's a Spanish. I technically have Belgian citizenship.
Right.
But I don't do the podcast like, hello, welcome back to Under Our Roof with Grace and or similar, depending on how you know me. Like I could, I spent the majority of my childhood in Belgium.
You spent the majority of your life?
Yeah. I could totally do that if I wanted to be interesting and a fraud. I could be a fraud. But anyway, so in that, when he was like, when Alec Baldwin was like debunking that, he kept saying like, consider the source. And it was very creepy. And you can look up the video if you want. And Alec Baldwin's another person that I don't really worry about working with in the future. You should consider when you post something about your significant other, consider the source. Is this something that would be very meaningful if shared between the two of you in a note form? Mm-hmm. Or is this something where you're in a long distance relationship and you want to... you just want to yell to the whole world how much you love and care about this person. And it feels like the internet's a good place to do that. Then you should do that and make a little video and montage. And
I know, because I think it actually can be really sweet to be like, I don't care who knows that. I love this person.
I love this person. And it also can, I know sometimes when you posted things about me or you posted a little like carousel of me and I feel very loved by that. I'm like, she's proud to be with me.
Yeah, and totally.
So it's just, it's finding the good balance for you and thinking about why and who you're posting this for.
I totally agree. Yeah. I feel like there are people that are private about their relationships and never post like a significant other, and that's great, but that's not me. I post you frequently and that's because it's such a big part of my life and I am so proud to be with you. But like, also you can be very proud to be with someone and not ever post them. It's just, it's so personal.
It's true. So at the end of the day, and really this could be the thesis of the entire podcast, what do we know? You're probably right. Listen to yourself, listen to your instincts. Do not go to Jax Taylor's bar in North Hollywood. Just remember, those people were not good people on the show.
True. And The Valley isn't a very entertaining show, I have to say. I wanted it to be better.
It's not so good. And maybe this podcast wasn't our best either. Or maybe it was. You can always let us know at underourroofpod@gmail.com. You can also feel free to rate and review and subscribe. We will be back to weekly editions. And we will be back also with our proper microphones. But we're easing back into the swing of things. And we appreciate your listenership, your time. And we also appreciate you being patient with us while we figure out having a newborn. I guess she's not. Sorry, Fran, you're not a newborn anymore. She says as she's literally having a binky in her mouth. That feels pretty newborn-y to me. Fran, do you want to say anything to sign off before we go?
Oh.
All right. To translate, what she said is, we'll see you next week on the podcast that we call
Under Our Roof.
All of your life, 'cause I love you so tender. I love you so sweet.